You're tuned in to Agriculture Today. As always, we're glad to have you along for our Monday edition. To the cattle markets we go, and the comments from a livestock economist out of Oklahoma State University. Again, a pleasure to talk with Darrell Peel about these trades. And there is new export data on beef we want to get into, of course, and some other trade matters. But recapping last week's cash, fed, and feeder cattle markets, the cash trade, well, maybe this is a good sign. At least it managed to finish with only a very modest retreat in prices, Darrell.
Yeah, the fed cattle market, and actually came out early in the week, which is kind of interesting to see the trades occur early in the week and at nearly the same money, just slightly down from the week before. You know, we're still early in January, and I think we're still trying to get a sense of where we are post-holiday. It takes usually the first half of January to kind of get a sense of, you know, just how much volume did we move over the holiday season and so on. Plus, we've had, you know, lots of winter weather, which can impact both the supply side in terms of feedlot impacts as well as the demand side in terms of lots of snow in some heavily populated areas. So just lots of things going on right now for the market to sort out.
You mentioned that the major winter events, particularly on the East Coast, could have put a damper on retail beef demand. Have we any way of estimating that at this point?
We really don't. You know, it's a pipeline kind of an effect. I mean, people do eat, but they don't eat the same ways. They don't eat out as much, perhaps, during this kind of weather. And it takes some time. Honestly, we probably won't ever be able to pick it out completely. Usually that's the case. But yet we can anticipate just, you know, sort of thinking through how people behave in this situation that there may have been some impact. And again, particularly in this post-holiday period where we're still struggling to figure it out, it's hard to sort it all out, but, you know, those things play into the market that we're seeing today.
Speaking of winter weather, as we look at the cash feeder cattle auction action this past week, there were interruptions at various auctions to note here in Kansas, Salina for one. But if you take it all in the aggregate, you see that feeder prices took a pretty notable hit this past week.
They did, though they were generally weaker, certainly in the Plains states, and again, I think we have a variety of factors going on. Some of it, again, is this, you know, sort of early January kind of thing where everybody's kind of regrouping and sort of getting started for a new year. Feedlots, you know, as we know, filled up a lot at the end of last year, and so that may have tempered their demand just in terms of numbers needed a little bit. Cold weather is not a good time for producers to enjoy shipping or receiving cattle, and we've also had some volatility in the futures market. So I think all of those things play into it. I don't know that it's necessarily a major sign of a change in the market as much as it is just a lot of things that have to be kind of sorted out in this market right now.
And what we're talking about here is coming on the heels of the fourth quarter of 2017 and how the fed and feeder trades did. If you look back at the overall trends there and those numbers have been gathered, we're entering 2018 on fairly decent footing, are we not?
That's right, and that's the important perspective to keep in here as we, you know, as we think about these market dynamics early in the year, is that we finished 2017, really the second half of 2017, very strong, certainly the fourth quarter, not only on a year-on-year basis, but by almost any measure. Seasonal patterns were a little bit muted in terms of the normal kind of seasonal weakness we see in feeder cattle markets, for example. And so all in all, we're carrying some momentum out of the end of 2017 and into the first part of 2018 that I think is very positive for us at this point as we, again, try to figure out just exactly where these markets will take off from here.
Keeping that momentum will be reliant upon our ability to move product abroad. And you do have the latest numbers on beef trade. What do they tell us about our export status to the moment?
Well, we continue to see that the international trade is very supportive to the markets. It was certainly a key in 2017 as a part of the broader demand picture. It'll certainly be important as we go forward in 2018. So specifically for the month of November, exports were up not as much, a little bit less than 3% on a year-over-year basis, but that's compared to a pretty strong November a year earlier. For the year-to-date, for the first 11 months of 2017, exports are up 13%. On the import side, imports were about even with a year ago for the month of November, and they're down about 1% for the year-to-date. So not a big reduction there. We've actually been closing the gap at the end end of the year. But nevertheless, with imports roughly the same and exports up, that's a positive move in the overall trade picture.
And as far as the destinations for U.S. beef, same cast of characters as always, as far as our prime markets?
It really is. You know, our top five markets haven't changed, and they're all positive on a year-over-year basis. So you've got Japan and South Korea as the two biggest markets, followed by Hong Kong, Mexico, and Canada. And again, on a year-to-date basis through the first 11 months, all of those markets were up. So, you know, it's a fairly broad-based kind of demand that we see out there at this point in time.
And since Japan has opened up its markets to beef, even more broadly, beef from the U.S., that is, that market, has it even come close to reaching its potential yet?
Well, you know, one of the things that's been surprising about the Japanese market is of course, there was a change in Japanese tariffs in 2017. Because of the surge in imports of U.S. beef, it triggered an increase in tariffs on frozen beef, and there was a lot of concern following that in the last few months of the year here, the last few months of data as to whether that would have an impact. It really doesn't seem to have had a huge impact. It was only on frozen beef and beef exports to Japan is a mixture of fresh and frozen, so some of that was able to just transfer over. So now those frozen beef tariff increases should go through March and then reset back to the underlying level. But there is some risk that because that has pushed more into the fresh beef market, we could trigger a similar reaction on the fresh beef side. And yet, despite all of that, Japan has continued to grow. Both Japan and South Korea have been extremely strong markets for us over the last several months.
Now, there's also to note market growth in China, that is for U.S. beef. That's always exciting to hear, but Darrell, you want to put that into an important perspective for producers.
Well, you know, we're watching this market. We do have a lot of excitement since we gained access on a political basis about mid-year in 2017, opened the doors, and now we're, you know, we're in that long process of trying to earn market share in that market that we've been out of for a long time. And we do see growth. We're watching these month-to-month, you know, trade figures. And somebody noted recently that on a year-to-date basis in November or through November, that China was inside the top 20 markets. But, you know, you have to recognize that once you get past the first five in terms of our top five markets that we previously talked about, those numbers get very, very small. So in November, China's exports of U.S. beef to China represented about 0.8% of our total exports for the month. If you look at the year-to-date numbers through November for the first 11 months of the year, and that included the early months of the year when we weren't actually, didn't have access to that market, but nevertheless, on a year-to-date basis, exports to China represented about 0.3%. So it's positive. It certainly has tremendous potential longer term, but probably not for the foreseeable future. I don't think China will be a major factor in U.S. markets in 2018 in terms of that total impact, but we will certainly be watching for continued growth in that market in the coming months.
It's hard to pin down looking ahead just how quickly the momentum may accelerate for that market. But rest assured, at least the start is at hand here. That's basically
the start is at hand. And you know, again, it's a tremendous opportunity. Obviously, with the size that China is in terms of the population base, yeah, a small change in percentage terms is a large absolute impact. So it could take off faster. It's not a simple concept. It's many different products and different subsets of the market and so on. But my guess is it will still be a lengthy process, but we're looking for slow but steady growth as we go forward.
Darrell, then, as you read the tea leaves, if you will, finishing out January, heading into February for the Fed and feeder cattle trades, will we see much movement or will it be rather steady as she goes both counts?
Well, I don't look for a lot of movement here. Again, we're in some cold weather periods, and so I think a lot of attention right now is just focused on getting through that. We may see some impacts that will show up here in another couple of weeks or so on fed cattle weights because of the cold weather impacts. We haven't seen that. In fact, weights were actually rather high right at the end of last year in the most recent data, but I do expect them to start coming down. Feeder cattle markets, again, I'm not sure that feedlot demand is as strong as it was. I think feedlots are pretty full right now, and this cold weather is probably delaying some marketings just a little bit, so they're probably not moving out cattle as fast. And who wants to handle cattle and deal with the health problems that go with this kind of weather? On On the wheat pasture side, we continue extremely dry. We may see some forced movement of cattle off of wheat pasture just because it stopped growing and we never had a lot of growth in many cases. So, but all in all, I don't look for any major movements in these markets in the immediate term. As we move on through the first quarter, then we'll start to look for those kind of seasonal spring advances that we typically look for towards the end of the first quarter.
That'll be a welcome turn of events. Get these markets going in a more encouraging direction as we get into the springtime. Darrell, thank you for joining us today, and we will catch up with you again in a few weeks.
Very good.
He is Darrell Peel, livestock economist out of Oklahoma State University, lending his thoughts on the cattle trading trends we see currently. And we'll be back with more after this break. You're listening to the K-State Radio Network and Agriculture Today.